Chapter 40. Demaja. It's easy to slip by the eunuchs and servants on my way to the Demaja's chambers. When I'm slippery, I get fuzzy around the edges. Hard to notice. Hard to remember. I move so quick and quiet, it's easy to dismiss me as a wisp of smoke or trick of light. I'm light as a feather and can jump like a stone skipped across the water. I don't know precisely where I'm going. I've never been in the Demaja's private wing of the palace, and it is enormous. But I know what Enevra smells like, and it Ent Alamon powder. Her fragrance drifts along currents in the air, and I follow it like a burbling stream. I hear a powerful pair of heartbeats ahead, and breathe in, smelling oil, metal, and the dye used to keep warrior blacks from fading. These must be the guards Rojfa warned about. My sensitive fingers slip into invisible fissures in the walls, turning sticky as I climb to the ceiling and scurry along like a spider, passing unnoticed over two gold-cuffed eunuchs, armed and armoured with the white sleeves of Holy Guard. I drop behind them, silent as a shadow. There's a gap at the base of the door they guard, and I squeeze through it like dough under a rolling pin. I circumvent a tighter door by slipping out a window and climbing along the wall to one past the barrier. After that, it gets harder. The doors are sealed with magic that binds their seams, and the windows are all shut. I'm getting close. Twice I wait long minutes for someone to pass through a portal, breezing through before it swings shut. Official business in the palace concluded at sunset, but it is early enough that servants are still bustling about. The third time I get tired of waiting and examine the lock on a door. I've seen from the other portals that unlocking the door will disable the wards long enough to pass. I slide a slippery finger into the keyhole, probing for tumblers. I remember the pattern and take up my picks. Harry Roller was teaching me more about being a jongleur than just piping. There were juggling lessons, stories and jokes to memorise, pratfalls and tumbling to practice. And there was picking locks. Some nights, the biggest show is after the curtain falls, he liked to say. I pop the lock and quickly slip through, finding at last the holy residence, where Demaja keeps her personal chambers. Here the gates are sealed tight, great golden doors covered in wards and throbbing with magic. I feel the symbols tugging at my power like the door to the bunker. Ain't gonna squeeze through that. I search for a locking mechanism, but there ain't one to be found. If it's held fast by magic, I haven't much hope of opening it. I decide to slip into the shadows and wait for someone to pass, but before I can move, I'm startled by the sudden click of a latch. I leap for the ceiling and stick there as the doors swing silently open, but the warrior on the other side easily finds me in the shadows.
You were not invited here,
Darren Asu Arlen. I freeze as I recognise that stern, motherly tone. Khajiit's mother, Ashia, remembered from long summers past. The Sharum Ting Ka. Ashia wears a helm, wrapped in a white turban, and a white veil over her mouth and nose. The rest of her is clad in Sharum blacks. Two short, close combat spears cross her back in easy reach, along with a rounded shield, all of indestructible warded glass. I was always a little bit afraid of Khajiit's ma'am, and that ain't changed with time. Mika hid what she was, but Ashia's legend was too great to hide. There are songs about how she went into battle with infant Khajiit strapped to her breast, a story often called for in taverns and around hearths, even in Thisa. Harry Roland made me memorise it. But I realise there's more to fear than Khajiit's ma'am. Shadows detach from the hallway at my back. Sharum Ting materialising to surround me. Spears pointed at my heart. Thought I was good at sneaking, but it seems I'm still in the little kid's classroom. They link shields as they approach, spears long enough to strike up at me from the floor. I get so scared I go slippery on instinct, losing my grip on the ceiling and tumbling down. I twist in midair, managing to land on my feet, but it's a clumsy move and leaves me vulnerable. But the warriors don't press the advantage, and Ashia doesn't reach for her spear. There's no need. Slippery or not, I can't get past the wall of spears around me without being spitted like a pig. My heart is beating like a cornered rabbit's, making my whole body feel like it's shaking. "How long?" I ask, as Ashia stalks in. She pauses.
"What?"
"How long have they been following me?" I say. Ashia's eyes crinkle behind her veil, and I smell her amusement.
"Since you left your quarters, young prince."
Much as I hate to admit it, Rosva was right.
"Guarding or spying?"
Again, amusement.
"Both, of course. It is unwise to come unsummoned to the holy residence, son of Parchin.
Even for you."
"Need answers," I say. "Are they worth your life?"
"They'd think so," I reply. "But seeing as Olive may die without them, ain't got much choice but to take the risk."
"The Demaja is aware of the danger to Olive Paper," Ashia says. "If there is anything to be done, then good enough."
I cut in, surprising her. Ashia ain't accustomed to being interrupted. The look she gives makes me feel like I'm 5 summers old and in for a trip to the woodshed. "And it ain't just Olive in trouble." Ashia tilts her head at me.
"Track the Marja myself until they hid the trail," I say, loud enough for all to hear. "They had Nanny Mika slung over a horse alongside Olive."
The Sharoon Ting say nothing, but their breathing changes, and their collective smell becomes a mix of worry, doubt, and slowly rising anger. Mika was one of their own.
"Demaja didn't tell you that part, did she?" I ask.
Ashia's scent changes to one of challenge, and I realise I've made another mistake. Thought mentioning Mika would get sympathy, but like with Arik, I've misunderstood how the Krasians look at the world. There is a hiss as Ashia's short spears come out of their harnesses. With a quick twist, she marries the ends of them together into a weapon taller than she is, with a foot of sharpened glass at either end. There is a glow of magic about her. She'll be as fast as I am, and going slippery won't stop those blades from cleaving me in two.
"What the Demaja tells us is what we are meant to know,"
the Sharon Ting Ka says in a low, dangerous voice. "Our lives are hers. Mika Va Ahman understands this even if you do not. Mika is a Kai Sharum Ting of Evaram's Spear Sisters. Her glorious deeds have already assured her place in heaven. Either she is working even now to free Olive, or she has died honourably in the attempt. Mam told me never to get on my knees in Krasia, but I do it now, placing my hands on the floor.
Sorry. Mam always said my nose gets me into trouble. Didn't mean any offence."
"Even as a child, you never wanted trouble," Ashia says. "But you were always finding it. Still need to see your boss," I say. Ashia steps aside, opening a path into the holy residence.
"You are fortunate then, son of Arlen. She has been expecting you.
You must be very brave or very foolish coming in here uninvited, son of Arlen."
The Demaja kneels, facing away from me, staring at the pattern of the dice on the cloth before her. It's so portrait perfect, I know it's a pose, meant to put a scare into me. Creator knows any other time it might have worked, but I'm getting tired of Krasian head games. "Aye, well," I stick my hands in my pockets. "Mam always says my da had more sack than sense. Might be we've got something in common after all."
"That is a common trait in men who die young."
In Evra's words wipe the smile from my face.
"And in great men. Which will you be?"
"You're the one who sees the future," I say.
"I knew you would come."
Minerva's voice is distant as she gazes at the dice, her silk veils illuminated in their soft glow.
"Though in truth I expected it to be sooner."
Everyone, it seems, expects me to be braver than I am. Sorry to disappoint. The Demajah shrugs.
That is not a bad thing.
It shows you are not arrogant or unduly impulsive, regardless of how much sack you carry. Did the dice tell you that, when you cast in my mother's blood? I'm supposed to be here for Olive. But there are things I need to understand about myself as well. And Inevera may be the only person left alive who can help.
They told me you would be born in darkness, she says again.
Aye, but that ain't all, I say.
It is dangerous to have knowledge of one's own future, the Demajah whispers. The burden can lead to choices we might not otherwise make. Choices that can have consequences.
I'm already burdened, I say. It wasn't just Olive Leisha cast for that night. The Demajah whirls so suddenly that I leap backward, going slippery. Frictionless, my feet slide back as if I were on polished ice.
There was another prophecy, and you kept it from me!
The wand comes off her belt, and with a flick, she activates wards all around the room. Like Aunt Leisha's, they will keep sound from escaping, but I can see that's not all. They keep me from escaping as well. I take a deep breath, solidifying. I'm in her place of power, and the Demajah knows magic a lot better than me. Nothing to gain trying to run or fight.
You kept something from me,
so we're even. She raises the horror wand, its wards burning with an angry light.
Even! My husband is missing. I haven't heard from him since...
Since when? I ask when she trails off. The Demajah shakes her head.
Nothing more for you, son of Arlen. Tell me what you know, or I will throw you in a cell even you cannot escape.
I shake my head, planting my feet and crossing my arms.
Your husband is missing, aye.
So is my mam, and Aunt Leisha, and Olive Paper. But what I know ain't got anything to do with where they went.
Aunt Leisha said so.
It's my prophecy and it makes no sense. But maybe, combined with yours... The Demajah looks at me a long time, but her horror wand slowly dims. At last she returns it to her belt.
Come kneel with me, son of Arlen.
She returns to her casting cloth, gathering her scattered dice with a practiced sweep of her hand. I kneel across from her, amazed at the change in her aura. A moment ago, she was furious, more than willing to hurt me. Now she is calm as still water.
You may not like what you hear, she says softly.
I shrug. Don't like much of anything these days, but things keep happening all the same. She closes her eyes, her voice taking on that distant quality it had when she was staring at the dice.
A boy of limitless potential and a future of despair.
I shudder at the Demajah's whisper.
He will be born in darkness and will carry it inside him.
The words are recited like an ancient cradle rhyme. Something replayed in her mind countless times over the last 15 summers, hoping to glean...
What?
What does it mean? I ask. Darkness inside me? A future of despair?
The darkness could mean the magic you carry within you, the Demajah says.
Power born in darkness like you cannot withstand the light. I think of the pain of sunrise, of my Alagai blood.
Despair might mean the burden of growing up without a father, the Demajah says.
And my limitless potential? I ask.
Inevera shrugs.
All potential is limitless.
It may be the prophecy has already come to pass, but prophecies are tricky things, and there is always a deeper meaning. Whatever is coming, you have a part to play, I think.
She returns to the Alagai Hora to a pouch at her waist, and I relax a little.
I have kept my side of our bargain, son of Arlen. Now tell me what the Mistress of Hollow saw in her dice.
I close my eyes. Like in Evera, the words come easily, replayed 1,000 times in my mind since that night in Aunt Leisha's study. They have haunted me. The father waits below in darkness for his progeny to return. The Demaja's eyes narrow as they meet mine. I shake my head slightly to let my hair fall over my eyes, but she keeps staring, seeing right through. You think this is about the Parcheen? What else could it be? I ask. My blood. My father. It means he might still be down there, stuck like a cork in a jug. Perhaps, Enevera says. But it is not that simple. Alagai Kar is the father of demons. Ahman is your blood father. You and Olive are both his children, in a sense.
Hadn't thought of that, I admit.
Why should you? Enevera asks. You have no skill at prophecy. Even Leisha Paper came to the practice late in life. But she was too prideful and you too stubborn to share with me.
And being stubborn, I say, it's personal. It's about my Da. I feel it in my bones.
Prophecy is like that, Enevera says. It is tempting to let our feelings guide us, to let emotion read the dice instead of logic. That is why the dice are so dangerous in untrained hands. We will always see what we want to see, if we let ourselves. Wanting something doesn't make it wrong, I say, but it is illogical. The Demaja points to a hearth against the wall, burning with crackling orange flame. The abyss is not a bottle. It is a fire. The flames that heat Allah from within, even as the sun does without. There is a pop as fire licks a pocket of moisture, and sparks fly from the wood. The sparks are brighter than the flame, she whispers, if only for a moment. So it was with your father. His flare cleansed the Alagai from our lands, but it consumed him. But the energy ain't gone, I say. Spark turns to heat. And with his heat, Alin Asu Jeff burned the Alagai from our cities, the Demaja says, and in so doing spent his spirit on the lonely path to be judged by Everam. Your father awaits you, I have no doubt. But it is in heaven, not Allah.
How can you possibly know that? Mum always said, once a tenderer starts telling you what happens when you die, it's time to stop listening, because they're just spinning tamweed tales.
Some things, the Demaja says, must be taken on faith. I too know what it is like to have your parents taken from you. But do not let your desire to have them return colour a prophecy you do not understand. Do you understand it? I ask. There is a ripple in the Demaja's aura. I imagine she's not used to people asking her such blunt questions.
I thought not, I say.
Guess we're both letting faith get in the way.
Tsst!
Demaja hisses, and I know I've struck a nerve. It's a mad game, antagonizing her like this. But when adults won't take you seriously, sometimes it's the only tool left in the shed. The dice are not a map to follow, Enevera says, or an equation to solve. It can take months or years to find meaning in a throw. Many are not understood fully until after they come to pass. Don't have months, I say. Can't just sit here waiting for Uncle Garrett. My honoured husband said as much. The Demaja's tone is careful and measured. Now he has disappeared. I will not let you or Princess Selim risk yourselves further. You will return to Hollow and its great woods until we can learn more. Even if it takes months, I say, or years. I see we understand each other, Enevera says. This ain't the first time my blood father's disappeared, I say. Last time, he came back with me.
Indeed, the Demaja agrees. I have learned not to underestimate my husband, but you are not him, Darren Bales, nor are you your father.
She's got the right of that, but it still cuts to here. I know that, but maybe I can do something they can't. And what is that? The Demaja smells amused.
The dice told you that if Bloodfather returns to Desert Spear, he would make things worse.
How do you know that? She asks.
Ears like a bat, Mam says.
The Marja are numerous, Enevra says. Their city lies across an unforgiving terrain, fortified around the only arable land for many miles. Thousands will die if we try to force their gates open. No one, not even Olive Paper, is worth such a price. If she is there, it is Everarm's will. We must trust in Everarm to bring her through.
If a drawn curtain brings pain enough for me to scream, what would a week or more be like under the desert sun? Yet still, against my better judgment, the words come to my lips.
What if someone else went?
The Demarja snorts.
You? What makes you think you can succeed where the Shah Damakar could not?
I smile. Limitless potential? That gets a full laugh from her. Something I wouldn't have thought possible. Her scent is absolutely delighted, and I use it as an opening to press the case. Bloodfather is bound by treaties, but I ain't. Maybe it would start a ruckus if he went down there, but if I'm caught... I lift my empty hands, palms out. Just another chain to them, ain't I?
Do not underestimate the Marja, Enevra says.
You will be caught. I shrug. Don't matter. And a cell that can hold me. The Demarja raises an eyebrow.
Try to leave this room, son of Arlen.
I glance again at the ward surrounding us.
Aye, but you know me,
I concede.
Marja left before I was ever born.
Don't reckon they'll go to all the trouble of warding up an airtight cell on account of one scruffy green blood.
Indeed, it is easy to underestimate you,
Nevera says. But like your father, you are more than you appear.
Rosewood tells me you have a gift.
I? The mention of Dad distracts me, and it takes a moment for the Demarja's last words to register. She reaches out her hand.
Your pipes.
My hand drops protectively over the satchel I always carry. I'd sooner let the Demarja hold Mam's knife. But we both know the statement was a request. And here, in her place of power, a request is a command. I reach inside, clutching the instrument for a long moment before handing it to her. The Demarja takes the pipes respectfully, closing her eyes and gliding her fingertips lightly over the wood, feeling its energy. Then she opens her eyes, studying the pipes with night eyes. Like taking a breath, she pulls a wisp of magic through them and into herself, reading it, like Mam taught me.
You cut the wood yourself, she whispers.
Wove your own cord. Boiled your own glue. There is power in that, Darren Bales. Aye, well. My fingers itch to snatch the instrument back. It's mine, and I've never liked folk touching it, not even Harry. I could take it before she even knew I'd move, but I reckon I'd come to regret it.
Why don't you use Hora to enhance the pipe's resonance? She asks.
As other Alagai charmers do.
As I never wanted to be a demon charmer, I say.
You will have to be if you wish to make it to Desert Spear alive, the Demarja says. Then, as if she had known all along, she reaches into her Hora pouch, producing what looks like a warded silver shell on a delicate chain. The shell hums with power, evidence of a sliver of demon bone within. Enevra skillfully threads the chain through the cord that binds the reeds together, letting it hang like a tassel. I know what she's doing, and she's right. Harry would never have held off the Quarlings back home if his cello hadn't been similarly enchanted. But then she lays out a brush and a bowl of pure black paint.
Aye.
I reach out as she raises the brush.
Psst.
The hiss makes me jump, pulling back my hand instinctively. Before I recover, she begins her work, painting wards along the reeds. The symbols are beautiful, but it still feels like a violation, like she's tattooing my arm without permission. With every stroke of the brush, my muscles get tenser until it feels like I'm vibrating. Before I know it, she's done. A shell will resonate and multiply the sound of your playing, the Demarja says. By placing your fingers on the wards along the reeds, You can control how many multiples it will take to fill a space.
Seems a complicated way to say the wards make it louder, but I bow as she returns the pipes, just happy to have them back in my hands. It's an incredible gift, but Mam always says magic has a price, and I expect I'll be paying it soon enough.
Thank you.
General Cutter rides hard for Everarm's bounty, Enevra says. He will be here in 3 days to collect you and his daughter.
Sooner than we thought.
Too soon.
Then I'll leave before he gets here, I say.
The pact demands that I keep you and the daughter of Garrod safe,
Enevra says. If you try to leave the palace, the guards will stop you.
If your guards can stop us, I say, we ain't much good to Olive.
The Demajah does not reply, but there is amusement mixed in with the scent of her perfume, and that is all the answer I need.
Uncle Garrod will be steamed, I warn.
The Demajah whisks a hand dismissively through the air.
He is only a man, and out of his depth. A few wails and false tears, and he'll ride out from Everarm's bounty believing you've run off again, and leave me blameless.
Won't be lying, I say.
But he'll come after us.
Alas, Minevra says. The pact gives us the right to deny armed men passage through our lands, and with Ahman gone, I may be helpless to stop my generals from enforcing it.
I smile. Helpless, this woman ain't. But Krasians like their head games.